Well, if you ever think that animals are dumb, I want to challenge you. Think again. You know, God made animals extremely smart. They are not stupid. I've had some little vermin living in my barn, and I'm not talking the Templeton type. I'm talking the Chippendale. Them little chipmunks like to dig holes. They find a little bit of dirt, and they'll dig a hole, and they throw that dirt all over my floor. I'll fill the hole back in. They'll dig it back out. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm evicting you. That's all there is to it. And when I evict an animal, it's not a pretty thing for it. I found this package of sticky strips, glue strips for rats. I peeled that thing off. I said, I've seen him run into this corner. I've seen one run behind this trash can, and I set those there. And the other day, I was walking around, I was like, oh, man, I totally forgot about that to check my traps. And I go over, and I saw that little thing run across there. And I thought, oh, I got to go see if I got him. And I go over there, and I look, and that chipmunk had taken the dirt and kicked the dirt over the sticky stuff. I'm like, God, how smart is this thing? Am I going to be able to catch him? Now, I caught his little cousin, the mouse, and he almost got it, except his tail was too long, and his tail got caught. He's no longer amongst the living. But that little thing, I thought, Lord, what am I going to do with this thing? He's too fast to shoot with the 22. I'll have a bullet bouncing around inside my shop. And I said, I don't know. I said, right at the moment, we'll put the strips down. If I catch him, I catch him. If not, what I may have to do is put about three of them in a row. We'll see. Mothballs? I've shoved mothballs in the hole. It should have. That's what I thought. I thought somebody busted the bag open by my door and put the bag on the board right there. And I'm like, I walk in, like, oh, man, it smells like mothballs in my shop. I don't know about you, but I go back to boot camp every time I smell that, because that's what our uniforms were stored in. And but anyhow, so today we're going to talk. We're not going to carry on with last week's message. God had already told me when I was done. He said, just leave it there for now. Many people got the hint about what we're supposed to be doing. But today, this was something God's been stirring in me, because I've been hearing it. I've been, you know, ever since my mom and dad became Christians, I've been hearing, whatever you name, claim it. Now, here's a problem, folks. There's a proper claiming, and we're going to talk about the improper, shall we? We're going to talk about balancing your life. So many people are out of balance in their lives because they're asking the wrong thing. So if you'll open your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Jesus was teaching. He said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, here's the thing. That word whatever really is a big word, isn't it? Because Jesus just left it open. Whatever you ask, you will have it if you believe. Well, here's one reason why I don't pray for unspoken requests. You don't have the courage to tell me, I'm not going to go off and tell everybody your business. Okay? I've got, people have told me intimate, some people told me things I wish they had never told me. Oh God, can I take my brain out and dip it in some bleach? Can we get that thought out of there now? But no. This pastor that I knew had been having this unspoken prayer request. I understand, I don't put prayer requests on Facebook. Okay? You won't ever see a prayer request from me coming across the family website or the thing. I will call people to pray. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm trying to keep a tighten that in so it's only family seeing this. Because so many people are gathering information. Am I a little paranoid about it? Yeah. I have every right to be. Okay? And today's day and age, people are stealing. They've stole my Social Security number years ago from the VA. Why did they need it? Why did that guy have to take his laptop home? Why was my information on his computer? Mine and millions of others. But this pastor that I knew, he had had this woman kept putting his unspoken prayer requests through on his in the thing, and he prayed for it, and then finally, I don't know how it got out, they found out what the prayer request was. It was for his wife to die and so she could marry him. So I won't pray for your unspoken prayer requests. If you don't have the decency to say, Pastor, I'm having some issues. Listen, I can go down through everybody and tell you your medical conditions because I pray for them. Tell me. I like to speak right to the thing. I don't want to say, hey, you know, just God, let's just throw a general wall, hedge of protection around them. You know, Joanne, she came up to me, Pastor, would you pray? She's got the same creeping crap I got. I'm like, it's dust. And that's what she said. She said, I think it was drywall dust that triggered it. Well, I got barn dust 4 weeks ago. I'm one of those guys, I like to take the air hose and go, really a dumb thing to do. And so I said, yeah. And I began to pray. You can ask her. I prayed right for the source of the problems and anything God shows me. And I've even prayed for some people that didn't quite want to get into details, which I appreciate. Don't getting too crazy on details. I don't need details. I just need to know what's wrong. I got a stomachache. Okay. I don't need to know what's broken in your stomach. But the Bible, Jesus taught us whatever we ask. So does that mean that I can ask for somebody else's husband? Absolutely, positively not. Well, Jesus said, whatever I ask, can I ask for somebody's house? Absolutely not. That is covetousness. And apparently you've probably already committed adultery in your heart. Well, Pastor, can I pray against my neighbor's business? Why? Why do you need to pray against your neighbor's business? Well, it's a porn shop. I'm still not going to tell you to pray against it. Pray for the people going into it. You're not fixing a problem by shutting the business down here. They'll just move down the road. Start praying for the problem, the people that are visiting it. You pray for them, they get healed, set free, and delivered. You'll shut the porn shop down. But until this other stuff is taken care of, you can put all the billboards you want up. All it did was attract more attention. You can pick at the strip club all you want. All you did was attract more attention and made it more desirable. How many remember that movie, was it called Striptease? Or no, Showgirls. Came out, the girl from Saved by the Bell, you know, and all the church just went, whoa, they lost their minds. They went out and picketed. It's an NC-17. Nobody should be going to see that. The church drew so much attention to an awful movie that it made millions because they drew attention to it. Well, Pastor, what do you say? It was already made. It was already out there. Pray for the people. We weren't called to picket. Now, there's a time you have to stand up. I will admit that. I like what the garment, there was a song they had, I can't remember the name of the song, but it went something like, there's a time to be on our knees, and then there's a time to stand and fight. But if you understand how to fight on your knees, bless God, you don't have to stand up. Well, we got to go protest the abortion clinic today. We're going to show this awful video of an abortion being performed. Listen, if you're my friend on Facebook and you ever share one of them, consider us no longer friends on Facebook. I will unfriend you. I do not want to see that. I have seen that, and it is horrific. I don't need that image in my head again. I don't need to be told how bad it is. My imagination is quite vivid. Ask my wife. She's like, wow, where did you come up with that? Oh, I just came up with this. We go for the wrong things. Lord, we curse that. How about praying for the people? One, pray that a revelation of the proper sexual relationship between a husband and a wife, not boyfriend and girlfriend, live-ins, or anything else, it's anti-Bible. I don't care what your thoughts are. It goes against the word of God. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You can't be on the middle of the fence. Any of you ever walked on a board fence before? You know, you got 3/4 to an inch. How many of you stayed on real long? And I hope to God that you were able to fall to one side or the other. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you split the fence, oh yeah. See you later, I'm going to the hospital. But God wants proper prayer. Whatever we ask things in prayer, properly in prayer. The first thing we need to ask things is it his will? We never pray, God, your will be done. We just look at this and say, you said whatever. I'm claiming that job up there as mine. Well, how about first off, you pray that it's God's will that you have that job? How about you ask God to move? How about you ask God to do something? Not everything that just comes along your way is God's will. The devil, listen, if the devil can pull you away with something, he will do it. Oh, but it's a good thing. It's got to be God. Not necessarily. Not necessarily is everything that comes your way. Because if you spend your entire, listen, we had friends in church. We were just getting to know, we were both young couples, both had young kids. And they bought a little boat. It was really only big enough for 2 people because it had a jet ski motor in it. But it was a boat. I'm thinking, yeah, don't they usually carry 1 people with a motor this size? You're carrying 4? And they, oh, we got to go boating. Now, the only day we can do it Sundays. We said, absolutely not. I said, it's not because, well, at that point, I still had the mindset that it was against God. And I'm not telling you to get a boat and go out every Sunday. If you get a boat and go out Sunday, we just found your new God. I'm just telling you straight up. How's that? I'm feeling the filters are going off. And folks, they started spending time and time and time. They eventually quit coming to church because they were boating. And they boated all summer long, and well, we were in such a bad habit of not going to church, we never came to church in the fall or the winter. And then he started having to work over to pay for the boat. Get rid of the boat. You know, Pat and I, we went out in his boat a couple months. Man, the summer went by. And it's a rather older boat. Really cool because it's a Cadillac. But it's an aluminum boat. It had this little, 9.9 Johnson on the back. I mean, not a big motor. We had just as much fun in there, especially when that catfish was pulling us against the wind. Which, by the way, Jesse said somebody caught one out of there, and it was 50 pounds. And Jesse said, I think I know somebody hooked that before you did. I had to get that out of there. It was coming. So we have to ask according to God's will. He said, whatever you ask. This one, it doesn't particularly say in my name. But when you ask things in God's name, you're asking according to his will. You can't just say, Lord, I want that woman over there. God does not do that. Why the body of Christ can't get it through their head, we and God will not manipulate somebody to fall in love with you. Do you know Wiccans won't do that? Witches will not do that. It's one thing they will not do. They will not cast spells to make people fall in love. They cannot do it. Why? Because first off, it's love. Totally contrary to what witchcraft is. Witchcraft is manipulation of people, controlling. They cannot make people fall in love. Why do we think as the body of Christ, God will make somebody fall in love with us? Why? And it's not the first time I've heard people going down that road. Other people say, I had a vision with you and this girl. Well, keep your vision to yourself. Thank you very much. I go to school with that girl. She's not exactly nice. And I'm not talking about other things. I mean, she's just mean. I never wanted a mean girl. Nope. And God didn't bring me one. Usually, yeah, no. That was from her. That came from her. Obviously, King Solomon had a few. Because he said it's better to live on the roof of a house in a corner than to share the whole house with a cantankerous woman. Where's a man? We'll give you a chance. We'll hold her back just a little bit and let you run. But people ask things. They ask out of the will of God. Even our Lord and Savior, the night he was to be betrayed and run through his trial, asked, God, if it's possible, can we do this another way? Right? Did Jesus want to die this way? Absolutely not. What did he say, though? He said, but not my will, yours. Jesus is like thinking, man, I think I can come up with a little bit better way to do this. He said, I've had time to think about this. And he said, this body, it hurts when you stub your toe. It hurts when you bang into things. And they're going to beat me and drive nails. I've seen, you got to understand, Jesus had witnessed crucifixions. And he knew that when he was crucified, the devil was going to jump on and take full control of this thing. They normally did not beat prisoners like they did Jesus. And so what we have is a body that's running around asking things contrary to the will of God. I'm just gonna share this straight out with you. So many people have plans. How many of you got plans? What did Paul say about plans? You say you're going to go to this city and that city and that city next year. He said, that's arrogance. He said, here's what you should say. If God wills, I'll go to that city next year. Now, it's not saying if you're trying to plan I realize that missions trips require planning. You don't sometimes just jump up. Now, if God just says, I want you to get up and go, I'm going to tell you, you better break the light between you and the seat. Get up and go where God told you to go. You don't need the planning. You just need to be in a place. And so he said, it's your own arrogance to say this and to do this. My plans, I told the guy filling my fuel tank the other day, I said, I never planned to come back to Ohio. And he said, what happened? And I said, well, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe God told me to come back. Trust me, I wouldn't. I'd be probably with my friends right now whose homes are flooded 3 feet deep. Maybe. We don't know where what God would have. But if God hadn't told us to come home, we wouldn't have come home. I'm not a huge fan of the cold. I like the weather we're having now. If it could stay fall, I'm good. I'm thinking that my version of heaven is going to be autumn. Maybe do some deer hunting. I don't know if that'll be a thing. Maybe God will have hologram deer. I don't know. But we have got to ask things according to the will of God. You can't say, God, I really would like a Bentley. I'm claiming a Bentley, Lord. Well, if you ain't taking care of the piece of crap you got now, I hate to bust your bubble about what a Bentley costs to maintain. There's a Mercedes that back in the 80s, one headlight one wiper blade for the headlight. They're this long, is $100. I choke at $20. I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, man, I think I remember when these were like $5 and $6, and now I'm looking at $22 each. And that was $100 just to wipe it off of your headlights, not the ones on the windshield where it's important. Now, if you can take care of that, I bless you. But don't you dare come and complain when, man, Pastor, I'm only getting 10 miles to the gallon driving this Mercedes. Yeah, you're driving an 8,000-pound car with an engine that's bigger than my truck. You didn't do your homework. I know people that bought SUVs that were all-time four-wheel drive, and all they did was complain about the gas mileage. Hello? Anybody who's been on the planet for more than a minute knows four-wheel drive vehicles always get a little less gas, especially when it's full-time. Your fuel economy is not going to be good. Why did you buy it? It was God's will. Then shut up. I came across a car the other day. I thought, I may call about it. It only had 92,000 miles on it. It was a 1986 Mercedes. No rust. It's been sitting in a barn. Looked good. Then I thought, okay, I know what it costs to buy parts for those. And if I thought buying parts for my motorcycle was expensive, try something with German engineering attached to it. Whatever you ask, you have to ask according to God's will, not our will. Not, well, Lord, I want to see so-and-so happy. Ask God's will. So many people want to try to get... Listen, your happiness is not God's priority. Did y'all know that? It's not part of God's priority in your life, because happiness is a fleeting thing. It can be taken away just like that. God is more interested in your eternal salvation and the things that will take you out of it. That's why when we come up against a mountain, we're over here on this side of the mountain saying, I command you to move, mountain. Jesus said, I can tell you to be cast into the sea. On the other side of the mountain, you got Caleb saying, thank you, Lord, for my mountain. Right? We're looking at it from this side. It's in my way. Caleb's like, thank you, Lord. I can see the top. And I'm going to possess this mountain. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're trying to move a mountain that man over there is thanking God for, and you go over and tell him, I told God to move this thing, he's going to kick your butt. He said, no, this is my mountain. God gave it to me. You ain't moving it. And I pity you if you try. But the truth of what Jesus was trying to teach us, folks, is I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, God wants you to go out and move that physical mountain. No, God doesn't. You mess up that mountain, you mess up a whole bunch of stuff. The watersheds, the air. There's people that live on them things. Some of my relatives. I can promise you, they don't take too kindly to other people coming in and telling them what to do about their house. Ask my great-great-great-grandma. She shot the last guy that came and tried to tell her what she could make and couldn't make on her mountain. And they ain't found him yet. I'll give you a guess at what she made. It was during Prohibition. About 120 proof. And her grandson was the sheriff. That'd be my grandpa. But folks, if we will not ask according to the will of God, well, God, I want this position. Are you ready for that position? Are you taking the necessary steps to get the education you need for that position in your new job? Are you learning new skills? Oh, no, I think I can learn when I get there. That's not what employers want today. They want to know that you already possess it. We need to ask according to the will of God for things in our lives. God, if this is your will for me, like I said, there's something somebody always said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. You get all the blessings you think you want in your life. Oh, Lord, I'm getting to travel all the time. I'm getting to go here, getting to go there. What's suffering? Come on. Be honest with me. What's suffering? Your family time? Church time? The devil will take you out of all those so that you don't have them anymore. You know, a couple weeks ago, I think we talked about the devil being as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he thinks like one. In other words, he's searching. He's going around waiting. And if you know anything about lions, they will find the one that got separated a little bit. Is it the herd? Is it the pride's fault? Or not the pride, but the herd? No, it is not. Because the herd knows, stick together. Why do you think we should stick together? Why do you think that sheep all herd up like that, and deer and stuff, and those antelope on the plains? They can't pick out one to focus on. All they see is all these things, and they go to make a jump for one, and it's not there anymore. Because what they were focusing on was the backside, and the backside got away. They thought it was a head. Because they saw a head over here, and they missed their mark. That's why the devil comes in, tries to pick us off one by one. And if I'm telling people something, it's you got to be here. You got to get in church. It's God's will, especially in this day and age. That's what Paul said. He said it even more in this time. Do you realize that was nearly 2,000 years ago that Paul wrote that? And he said, because that's when the end times began. That was it. We are finally coming up on, I do believe, the end of that age, the end of the Gentiles ruling. Now, so we have to ask God for everything. God, is this your will? I don't want my will. I know what my will was. I'm like, God, I want your will. I got to have your will in my life. If it's not your will, I'm not going to be happy. I may think I'm happy, but the truth of the matter is, I'm not. So now, that brings us to our next scripture. Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13. This is one we all like to misuse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can have a baby. Why did it suddenly get quiet? No, I can't. I cannot. I do not possess the plumbing. Right? I cannot have a baby. And the freakish thing that the world's doing today is a total abomination to God. So, well, Pastor, what? I'm teaching you the balance, folks. Because the problem is, preachers are afraid, for many years that I've heard, are afraid to tell you, you don't go out and do stupid stuff and expect godly results. You do stupid things, stupid is as stupid does, and as stupid reaps, right? Oh, I'm going to go up on top of this building, and you watch. I'm going to jump off of it. Did Jesus jump off of the temple? Absolutely not. Why? Because he was now flesh and blood. The devil misquoted a scripture, twisted it around on him. Well, if Jesus had jumped, God would have saved him. There's no guarantee of that. Jesus probably would have broke his legs, his arm, a few other things. Who knows? There was no guarantee. Well, the Bible says, no. It says he will not let you be harmed. He didn't say he's not going to let you die before your time. You jump off of a building, folks, you're probably going to die or suffer some dire consequences. If I go up on top of this thing and I'm gonna show y'all God, I can fly. First off, check and make sure somebody didn't slip something in my coffee. Because it's not going to end well. If God had made me to fly, he wouldn't have made me with solid bones. They'd be hollow like a bird's. Oh, and I'd have this phenomenal thing, a set of wings. Now, I think I'd want the wings like a bat or a pterodactyl or something. You know. I think that's what I'd want. Keep the feathers. They fall off. But you see, God didn't make you to fly. Well, I can fly. No. For man to fly, God created Orville and Wilbur Wright. He said, it's time for you to be able to fly. Man's been trying to fly for centuries. God said, okay, now you're coming into the time which you can fly. These two boys, they built this plane. It flew, what, about 100 yards? Man, they went nuts. Now we got planes that don't have to stop. We got jet engines that can travel 7,000 miles an hour. Think about that. I mean, that is peel your face. The only thing that's on there is bone. And now we are contemplating trips to Mars. Do you realize, we were discussing this the other day, it takes 18 years to get there at 18,000 miles an hour. That's how fast they fly in space. 18,000. It's going to take you 36 years just to get there and come straight back. Not do any exploration. Justin would be my age if he went right now. Think about that. You've lost most of your life. And if you're finally to the point of where you're able to be an astronaut like that, you're already what, in your 30s? So now you're going to be 60s. You're not going to feel like that reentry stuff anymore. And yet, I do believe we will send. We've got things on there now. We can see deep into space. There are things we can do. But it's through God's will. Let's read it like that. I can do all things through God's will and Christ who strengthens me. Christ, by the way, the word Christos means the anointed. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm having problems. Listen, if God tells you to get up in front of a group of people and start speaking, you can do that. Why? Because of that. Through the anointing, through God. I'm only up here because of the anointing. It's not because I like being up in front of people. I was the guy that preferred to be in the back. To this day, I still prefer to be in the back. I don't want people watching me. I'm up here because of an anointing that says I can do it because he strengthens me. I can pray in front of people because he strengthens me. Not because I'm so good at it. If you haven't ever paid attention, I don't have a canned prayer. The blessing going down the aisle is different. I pray for what God leads me to. It may be the same things, but nonetheless, it's not a prayer I just read out of a prayer book. They have them. Go to the pastor's resources section at the bookstore. You will find prayers for everything. That's how many churches they pray. How can you ask according to God's will? Oh, well, it says it right there. According to your will, be thine. How about we bring this into modern English? What are you saying? We're here because of the anointing. What you do is because. If you do something in here, you do it because God has anointed you. Some of you maybe things have, God's moved you into different positions. He moves people on. Well, I'm not right here, but it may be just as great. It may be just as needed as what you did before. You know, there's a time. I've realized, okay, I'm hitting that point where building projects are going to start slowing down on me. It's time for the next generation to come up and start taking on some of the heavy stuff. I'm a grandfather now. None of the crews I ever worked on was the grandfather out there working. So I think it's time the young guys start coming up. I've been working on crews since I was 10. 38 years. So if you want to know how long I've been doing church projects, 38 years. Loved every minute of it. I got to see good. I got to see bad. I got a job because of one. Guy came up to me afterwards. He said, hey, if you ever find yourself needing a job, he said, you look me up. I'll hire you. Go figure. What was it, a month later? I said, hey, you still serious about that job? Because my paycheck from the last one just bounced. I said, that's not good. He said, yeah. When do you want to start? I said, as soon as I can. God opened opportunities. It was an anointing I had in my life. Now, is that saying I'm just going to put anybody? No. And I will still probably always be to a degree involved in them. And I'm going to keep trucking over here. But eventually there's going to come a point, there's going to be other people doing things. Because it's time for the next generation. And the generation that's above me, well, you find you've got extra money, I'm just saying. We got to hire some of this stuff to be done. But can we do all things through Christ? Yes, according to his will. Can I take on a giant? Well, that depends. Is it God's will for me to be taking Andre the Giant on? If not, I can promise you that 7'3" man is going to hurt me. Or was. He's deceased. We'll use Shaquille O'Neal. How's that? That's a big man. I mean, his hand could wrap over top of my entire skull. Forget palming a basketball. His hand would be up here and his fingers would be down here. He's a mammoth of a man. Does God want me taking him on? In what? Cards? Monopoly? Running, yeah. I don't even know if that'll do. I mean, man, his legs got to be stopped right, about right there, right? So he takes one step. That's about three of mine. But if God told me to go to him, be like David. Hey, I can do this because one, there was an anointing. Did God specifically come down and tell David to do it? No. I don't read anywhere where it said that God spoke to David and said, thou shalt slay the giant. No, we talked about this, I think it was last week. He found out there was a good-looking woman. There was money. There was tax exemption. And there was all the glory, which got him in trouble with the king. Because Saul slayed his thousands, but David only ever killed one person, and he'd killed 10,000. That was how much this giant was worth. And so David was able to do it because God had anointed him to do it. He was the only one anointed. But yet, I've seen nowhere where God specifically said, if he hadn't been anointed to do it, it'd be a different story. We would never read about David and Goliath. It'd be somebody else. But the one man out of all of Israel was anointed was that man. So your accomplishments, whatever it is God's called you to do, whatever he's called you to accomplish, if it's his anointing on your life and it's something he specifically said, do it, he will make the way. That's where the anointing comes in. You're anointed. You'll go through. Nothing's going to stop you. Do you get that? David was anointed. Not one arrow could come near him. Nothing. No arrows could come near him. That spear could not come near him. Those words just made it to his ear so that he could hear them. But they didn't go any further because the anointing was there saying, okay, we're not going into your subconscious and letting those soak in. We're going to let what's inside you come out. Oh, yeah? I'm going to give your head to the birds of the air and the dogs of the field. That's what was in. You talk about a cocky individual. I mean, I think I'm cocky. This is David, man. He didn't have training. At least I was cocky and stupid. And then I joined the Marines and I was just cocky. Because I did now, I was no longer stupid or ignorant. I had training. And the fear of that training is why people think twice. I ain't saying I could actually do anything now. Like I said, you may be standing on top of my throat, but I'm going to chew on your ankle. That's the kind of stuff they taught me. Listen, it ain't the first time I've seen a Marine at the bottom of a pile. And it's usually other Marines on top of him. That's when you're in trouble. Is when you're going up against people that knew everything you did. Can you do all things? According to his will, you can. It is not God's will that I ever jump off of a building. It's not God's will that I ever give birth. There are things that are not God's will. Why? Because they violate his laws. I need to get that out there before I wrap this up. People, well, I don't get it. Why is it not God's will? Because it violates his laws. He didn't make me to have babies. He made her to have babies. By the way, women, in the body of Christ, let's start speaking up about what's going on in the world to the world. The very things, Miss Sarah pointed this out, the very things that made you special, you want to be like us. We really don't want you to be like us. You're no longer special. You can give birth. We can't. Just because Bruce Jenner went and had a boob job doesn't make Bruce really Kate. Changed his name legally. Still a he. DNA will prove it's a he. I don't care what your thoughts on the outside are. DNA says it's a he. It's all a bunch of baloney. Challenging the laws of God. So if you will stand with the laws, well, Pastor, what about, you talk about flying, we can fly. Yeah, I can fly with an apparatus. I jump off the roof of this building. I'm not high enough for a paraglide to glide. You know what I'm saying? For a glider, I'm not high enough. But if I go up high enough, I can overcompensate the law of gravity with the law of thrust, which is, by the way, how we fly. Another law has to be implemented. I can't just go out there and say, well, I'm going to go fly. No, 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 no. I'm not Superman. Even though I think I am. I jump off the roof, I'm going to pay the penalty. I go out and try to stop a speeding car with my hand. Yeah, y'all just get the shovel. That's all that's going to be left of me. Can't stop a speeding bullet. Definitely ain't faster than one. Yeah, once you can. Once. They don't bounce off of us. Why? Because there's a greater law in effect. We weren't made to stop bullets. The laws are still in effect. Well, you know, my husband don't treat me right, so I think I want a new husband. I'm going to pray mine dies so I can find a new one. The goofiness. And you know why people think goofy? It's because nobody will actually come on this side of this teaching and say it. Quit being goofy. We got people, I remember in the 80s there was a family, didn't have two nickels to rub together, but they were claiming this big house over here that Tom Whiston lives in. Because they heard the gold, the wallpaper had gold, real gold in it. And it may have, I don't know. I don't care. They couldn't provide themselves a single wide trailer in a dumpy trailer park. But they're claiming that because they got hold of whatever I say is mine. They didn't even own it. I think at that time the Presbyterian Church had gotten it. It had been left to the Presbyterian Church. And then Tom bought it, and he had to spend thousands to fix that place up and maintain it. This family couldn't. Well, we're claiming it. We're pleading. Bless God, it's in our name that we're rich. No, you're not. You are greedy. Greedy, 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 greedy. I know several millionaires in this county, and you don't know it. I ain't saying they're the most generous people, some of them. But I'm just saying they don't go out and flaunt it. They don't drive Mercedes, even though I wouldn't blame them if they did. I mean, it might handle the potholes a little better. They're getting better. Downside is we're heading back into the season that makes them. Folks, we can do all things in God's will. We are here as a church because of God's will. Not because, well, hey, I thought I could do this. I didn't want to do this. I told God no the first time, remember? Some of you don't know that. I told God no. I didn't say, oh, thank you, Jesus, you called me to preach. I said, no. I haven't heard one good thing about being a pastor from any of my pastors. As a matter of fact, one of them said, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. That's how fun it is sometimes. I just say, well, evidently I'm pretty dense. Some stuff bounces off and some stuff gets to me. And I go home and blow things up and feel better. And God bless the makers of Tannerite. When it goes off. All right. So are we going to be asking for goofy things anymore? Ask according to God's will. You never know. I mean, well, by the way, God's will usually takes you out of your comfort zones. Just FYI. God will move you clean across the country sometimes. Here, I'm going to tell you maybe two things. Trisha, shy girl. When we met her, oh my goodness, she was so shy. She had her own place. I was impressed with that. Single girl, owns her own place. And somewhere along the line, I don't even know how it came about, but then the next thing I know, she's moving. She lived right behind us, you know, back in the trailer park back there, and she had a nice little place. She's going to move. She's moving to Cardington. Okay. I was rejoicing because God was moving her on, blessing her. But you need to understand, that was a major change of a comfort zone for her. Then she's out walking. This guy on his porch starts talking to her. Long story short, folks. How many years you guys been married now? 9. Wow. Over 9 years ago. She rented her house, moved to his house. They sold that house, moved to another house. Somebody come in and said, I want your house. We'll pay you this much. They said, when can we sign the papers? Listen, God's will. If she hadn't got out of her comfort zone, she probably wouldn't have met Richard. And he's a good guy. I like him. See, I love everybody. I don't like everybody. I like you, Richard. And God moved her into a house that's right up, because she's very modern in her decorating. God just kept moving her on. If she had stayed in her comfort zone, where would she be? My own family. The first time I met Tony, she was seeing somebody else. Joshua was seeing somebody else. I shook her hands and God said, she's for Joshua. I said, whoa. I don't play the match game. I said, God, whatever. I'm leaving alone, because it was it that week, Tony, or the following that you told me you were moving to California? It was shortly after. She says, well, I'm moving to California. Holy moly. I said, well, evidently that took care of that. That was just not the right thing. The unfortunate circumstances that resulted in everything, nothing we could do about it. But it freed her. And God will restore things for him. She came back. And during that time, Joshua no longer had a girlfriend. They came back. It got a little awkward because she saw him staring at her. I think Matt and Michelle, and even more, are you going to ask her out? He finally did. And now I'm sitting back here looking at my grandson. You see, folks, if you don't get out of a comfort zone, you're probably not in God's will. God's will is usually a little uncomfortable for you. Stepping out, doing something. God ain't always necessarily moving people across country. And I know I'm going a little long today. And it's really not as late as you think. It's only quarter after. I ain't even been preaching an hour yet. But if I can say something to change your mind, you'll forgive me, right? Change your life. God's will move you from a comfort zone, but when you look back, you will see how he blessed you. I lost my job after 8 months of making killer money. If you understand that term, it means I was making a lot of money. Benefits, retirement, all of it. Lost my job. Factory shut down. Best thing that ever happened to me. Never did get all my vacation pay. I got $9 for retirement. That's what they wrote me the check for. I don't have any. There's no. It was going to be $23 a month. I was like, woohoo! And then they said, well, we're going to settle everything out. You get $9. Do you realize it costs $25 to write a check through those companies? I got the last laugh, I guess. Best thing that ever happened to me, folks. Because now I'm here. And guess what? I can do this because of the anointing that God has put on my life. You can do whatever God has put in your life because of an anointing. Okay? No matter what it is. Well, what, I need to talk to somebody. God, I don't have the courage. If you don't open your mouth, your blessing may just walk right on by your porch. Sometimes you got to open your mouth. Step out. If it's something I finally got, what are they going to do? Take away your birthday? Shave your head and send you to boot camp? Been there, got the bozo button to prove it. What's going to happen? They say no. That's the worst that can happen. The best that can happen, somebody doesn't kill themselves. Somebody doesn't OD. Somebody accepts Jesus Christ and their lives are radically transformed. That's what can happen if you'll step out of a comfort zone. Well, Pastor, I don't know how it's God's, how to tell. Well, you know, when the thought comes to your mind and all of a sudden your stomach is trying to crawl out your throat, it's God. That's the only way I'm going to, that's what happens to me. I knew that things were, that had to be God when I asked her out, and I already had the leg up that she liked me. That's always a bonus. When you know that she's liked you, no fear of rejection. It was just when I told her, I said, we better make this quick because I leave for boot camp in a month. And we did. We were engaged before we left. A month later. Been together nearly 30 years. God thing. How did I know that this was a God thing? Because I didn't want to do it, for starters. And I look around and I know how many people's lives really have been changed. And I know some of the stuff a lot of you have gone through some horrific things and times. Those weren't really God's will. But when we take our will and put it in front of God, we lose. We put God's will in front of it. I got some people in here. I'm going to ask them to... They got some testimonial things. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There was a guy here last week. He's come off and on over the last year or so. And he came, he said, you didn't know this. He said, but a couple weeks ago, I lost my job. So, yeah, he'd left service and came back in after we dismissed and everything. And he said, but I lost my job a couple weeks, and I haven't known what the guy, but he said, I knew I was supposed to be back in church. That I'm supposed to, and he says, I love this church. He said, but, and he grew up, I think his dad's a pastor, if I remember correctly. But he said, I walked out this door and my phone rang. And he said, I got a call that says, can you start Tuesday? He said, Pastor, I don't believe in coincidence. He said, I know if I had not come and got here, and I will be here, that this would not have happened. Getting out of a comfort zone. Like I said, it's easy. I had gotten way out of the habit of going to church. It was so much easier just to roll over. Yep, I ain't going. First week, second week, third week. By the fourth week, church was just a memory. And when I came back home, she's like, it's time to get him to go to church. What? All right. But if they get goofy, we're out of there. I said that. You can ask her. I was not looking for goofy. And then come to find out, I think just about every church has got a little goofy in it. Yeah. It's all right. Let's stand. Ask God for things according to His will. And then if it's not His will, to show you His will. You need to understand, Jesus knew God's will. He knew what He had to do. You're no different. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. You're no different than Jesus in that regards. A prophet. There's no differentiation on it. The prophet, the fivefold ministry has its purpose. But you can hear from God. Sometimes you need somebody else to speak into your life. That's always a good thing, isn't it? When somebody says, hey, it's a confirmation. Sometimes we do like the confirmation. I don't believe in putting fleeces out, but I do like it when God says, here, I'm going to send you somebody else to confirm what I've been telling you. Don't be afraid. God says, I want you to start doing this. Well, you start doing that. Let God bless you. And then you, I'm going to tell you what, folks. Well, that ain't going to bring me happiness. Quit looking for your happiness and start finding God's will, and you'll find happiness. I'm not happy if I'm not up here. And honestly, this is the last thing I look for. I cannot tell you how much I did not want anybody. Oh, Pastor, what do we do about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? I don't want to make those decisions. And sometimes I make the wrong decision. You know what we do? Improvise, adapt, and overcome. You got to make a decision. I can thank God for the Marine Corps for that, the military in general. Make a decision. Just make the decision. We laugh. We just had some experiences in that. Somebody make a decision, please. If it's the wrong one, anybody, y'all, there's been a few of you followed me, Richard, we driving. If I made the wrong turn, we turning around. It was kind of funny seeing, because my right blinker didn't work. And when you're on the highway running 70 miles an hour, they're like, okay, we have to anticipate. If we figure out a way to anticipate, you're turning right and all the exit ramps are on the right. And I'm like, oh, we missed one. Look back and they're like, trying to keep up with me. I don't know where we're going, but we'll get there. That's when we met Jesus. Y'all remember that? We met Jesus at a Russian Orthodox church. See? If we hadn't made the wrong turn, we'd have never met Jesus. They didn't get the meeting, but my truck did. All right. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we truly thank you, Lord God, for your awesome love for us. Father, we pray that you help us all, that when we pray, we ask according to your will, Father, not according to necessarily our desires, because your Bible, your word doesn't really tell us to pray for our desires. It says if we do your will, our desires will come to pass. So, Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you've heard our prayers. Father, that you're leading and guiding us into the path that will bring all those about. Father, that as we move according to your will, Lord, that your blessings overtake us. And Father, there's no sorrow with them. So Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving on people right now, Lord, that if they've been spinning their wheels, that you will show them the adjustment they got to make. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them. Father, as they go through this week, I pray that you put opportunities in their path to bless others. Father, whether it be a word of encouragement, or Father, whether it just be buying somebody lunch, whatever it be, Father, that you bring those about for them. In Jesus' name, amen.